It is to be good to be with you this evening. I'm encouraged by your presence tonight, and I would urge you, if you would, to open your songbooks to number 642. 642. This, I suppose, is another addition to our understandest what thou singest. I'll remind you again of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. And I hope both with prayers and our singing that we are doing so with all of our spirit, all of our heart, all of our sincerity and intention. But especially with respect to our songs, they don't mean a whole lot to us or those around us if we don't understand what we're singing. And I know sometimes that there is a thin line between reality and the life that a poet will live and the license that poets think they need to have. And there are some references, some imageries in the song sometimes I think may go so far as to require an encyclopedia or a dictionary to fully understand the intent. I grew up listening to the song and singing the song, Night with Ebon Pinion. A beautiful phrase, but you almost have to get a dictionary out to see what you're singing about. It talks about the darkness, ebony, ebon, the darkness, pinion, the dark bird's wing. It's just a poetic license to describe and set the tone for that time of grief and anguish, the night of our Lord's betrayal and his trial. And so sometimes I think you can almost go too far with poetic license to lose any understanding of those singing, though the phrases sound good, not quite sure what they're saying. And that's not even a song we're looking at this evening. I'm not sure why we went there. I was giving you time to turn to 642. And let's just read the song together before any more is said. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin is settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. I've always enjoyed singing the song. It wasn't until some time ago I learned about the difference in the lower lights and the upper, toppermost light of a lighthouse. And this goes back, in fact, you might notice at the bottom of the song, it mentions the song's author, Philip Bliss, going back to the late 1800s. And so that's back before technology, back before radar, back before sonar. And so that's when lighthouses were, in this case, it talks about trimming the lamps. They are actual lanterns that are used for a purpose. And at that time, it was a treacherous time because as a ship might come into what they think would be a safe harbor, because it is reflected by the lighthouse that reflects that safe harbor with its beacon at the top, as it comes closer, it has to navigate the area to the safe harbor. And in the darkness, the lower lights are those that shine across the wave and show the treacherous rocks, the treacherous areas where the ship, if it went in the wrong way and crashed on those rocks, would lose its cargo, perhaps lose its very crew. And the song came because of a sermon that a famous preacher of that time was delivering on the subject, and he used an illustration of a time in actual history when in the port of Cleveland, out of the Great Lake Erie, a ship was coming to harbor, saw the beacon of the uppermost light in the lighthouse, and was heading toward shore for reasons never quite explained. The lower lights were either left out or they had burned out. They weren't being used. And because those lower lights were missing, the ship headed toward the beacon of the lighthouse, not properly navigating the way in, and crashed against the rocks on the way in. The ship sank and many lives were lost. And the purpose of the illustration was to make the point this song makes, that we are those lower lights. And when I understood that, at least in my mind, opened up an understanding I hadn't had before about something that I'd always been struggling with in terms of Bible teaching. And that is the, not distinction, but the connection between Christ as the light and you and me as Christians who ourselves are lights. And we recognize that Christ is light in and of himself. And we're lights only because of him. And so I always had a struggle in understanding, much less explaining, that difference. Sometimes we say, well, Christ is the true light. We are reflective of that light. And there's some truth there. He is the great light. We are smaller lights. Well, absolutely. If that's the case, we'd have to agree with. And even though that idea of Christ as light and our being lights far predates this, This imagery really plays out what the Bible is talking about. Because when anyone is looking for salvation, a safe harbor to life's difficulties and into eternity itself, there is no light that matters but the light of Jesus Christ. Do you remember with me how the book of John begins? In the beginning was the Word. Talking here about the incarnate Christ. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Well, playing out in that same book of John now, in the 8th chapter, verse 12, Jesus of himself says, I am the light of the world. This just following on the difficulty with the adulterous woman situation. The very next chapter, John chapter 9, the man who's been born blind, Christ is expressing to his disciples what's going to happen, why it's happening, and the fact he's here for a short time. As long as I'm in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so there's no question who the beacon would represent. It's Jesus Christ, the one that everybody should be navigating towards, moving towards, is Christ as the true light of the world. But then the Bible also speaks of you and of me, of Christians, as being lights. The most known passage is Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes, which are followed by the images of the salt and the light. If the salt has lost its saltiness, its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. The light, well, you're the light of the world. And he says that to his disciples. And he also is saying that to us, his disciples, now. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, a candlestick, that all may see the light in the house. So let men so see your good works. As your light shines, they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, the case is that we are that light, showing by our good works the Father, that we're trying to bring to the world, that Christ, that as the beacon we're trying to draw the world to, and we play the same role as these lower lights do in the picture of the lighthouse. The lower lights, they would mean nothing without the beacon. But the beacon, and stay with me because this is so very important, the beacon is not able to do what it does best if the lower lights aren't doing their part. Jesus came to seek and save. He did. He was with us for a while, but now he's back in heaven on God's right hand. The work he does now, he does through us as his lights in this world. And as someone might be inclined to come toward the beacon of Christ as the light of life, we help along the way by showing something we may take for granted. Jesus is an example that we should all be trying to follow, but you'll have to admit he is an example we'll never fully measure up to. We want to be Christ-like, we'll never be Christ exactly. There is only one sinless man, that was Jesus Christ. It's not you, it's not me, it's Jesus. And so the world, which sometimes can be almost sidetracked with this picture in their mind of an abstraction of a perfect person that they can never live up to, they're trying to find some real, tangible, living person they can see that might give them some idea of what Christ looks like, what Christianity lived out looks like. And in that way, they either are helped or hurt by us as our lights are shining, or we allow them, for unknown reasons, to either go out or never be lit at all. Somebody that otherwise might be inclined to come to Christ can be helped by seeing us and seeing the lives we lead and the kindness we show, the kind of people we are. That's what I want to be, they say. Those lower lights help to navigate the way toward the beacon of Christ as the light of life. On the other hand, as somebody who's coming to Christ sees us and they know we ought to be Christians, and see that we're not acting as we should. We're either hypocritical in our lives or we're lacking in Christ-likeness, and they can see it. The lack of those lower lights takes their eyes off the beacon and oftentimes causes them to crash in the rocks before they ever make the shore. And so the song is suggesting that all of us as God's people, as Christ's disciples, should be doing our best to help him as a beacon to with our lower lives of our lives shining, to use our lights to navigate the way into Christ for others. The simple truth is, when it comes to those who are having an interest in the church, an interest in Christ, who see us, we are either helping or we're hurting. We're never neutral. By what they see in us, they're either encouraged or they're discouraged. They're never left neutral. And so the idea is we need to work on making sure our light is shining, our lower lights are shining, that we're doing our very best day by day, sometimes even at times when we don't even realize anybody's watching, to live a Christ-like life in a world that so needs to see what a Christ-like life really looks like. And so with that in mind, let's sing together 642, perhaps with understanding this time, and especially with spirit. 642. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning,
Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save.
And since we're so close, turn forward just 8 more pages to 650. 650. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. And the same idea of the light, this time we're sending forth the light of the gospel. Additional imagery of light the scriptures give us, the light of God's word, the light of the gospel. And of course it's interesting because Christ is the light in himself, and the message of Christ is light in itself. Christ is both the messenger and the message. But notice here in the second verse, it makes reference to a situation that Paul encountered as he begins his second missionary journey in the book of Acts. He's intended to go back with Barnabas and revisit those congregations, primarily in Jewish regions with Jewish Christians that had been converted, churches started in the first missionary journey. But now he has divided himself from Barnabas and he goes with Silas into other areas, but that's not what he believes he's going to at first. He's still planning to go back to those same congregations, basically in the Galatian region. And long story short, he wants to go here and he's pulled back. He desires to go here and he's pulled back. And surely wondering what's happening, he has a vision one night that gives him this wonderful Macedonian call. Come over to Macedonia and help us, which he does, and thus brings the gospel into regions it's never been before, to ears who have never heard it before, starting churches in regions unimaginable to anybody before. And Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, just as Paul heard that Macedonian call in his own life, in a sense, not in a miraculous or a vision-based way, but in terms of understanding our circumstances and our opportunities, we're every day receiving, as it were, a Macedonian call, where so many, from so many quarters, are crying out, sometimes in ways understood and seen, and sometimes in words unexpressed, but still understood by us, crying out, come over and help us. Help us see the light. Just show us Jesus. How many might be interested if we were more interested in seeing them and helping them? How good might be done more that is not being done if we just realize that preacher or not, elder or not, all of us have a Macedonian call on almost a daily basis to reach out to those who have true interest, who have real questions, that would be interested if we just realized. Well, remember in Acts chapter 8 when the church begins and persecution starts, and we read about the persecution that later on will be referred to as that which arises around Stephen. But because of the persecution of men like Saul, the church is just scattered. That's the word the Bible uses. The Christians were scattered abroad. And what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word, everywhere sending the light, everywhere realizing they all had their own Macedonian calls. What would the church be like if all of us had that kind of mentality? And so let's sing together for just a moment the first and last verses of 650, Send the Light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. As we close, let me just one more time remind you and invite you that if you are outside of Christ, don't leave in that condition. Obey the gospel. If you are a child of God but have wandered away, please come back. Let's all leave this service in the same saved position. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.